You might be back at work today, but your United States senators are on a two-week recess. Well, does that mean Congress is snoozing while issues like the 2018 budget, health care policy, and confirmations of dozens of nominees just lie around? Joining me with What's Ahead, Roll Call Senior Editor David Hawkins. And David, recess, what's going on, if anything?
Well, I think the word snoozing is probably not as good as the word stalled. I think with each passing day, it seems clearer and clearer that all the other troubles of the Trump administration that don't have to do with the legislative agenda and making policy are bringing the legislative agenda and making policy more or less to a standstill for lots of different reasons, not the least of which is that the Republicans themselves have never really felt unified behind President Trump, who they still view with some curiosity or suspicion as a conservative thinker. And they also now feel, because of his own problems, emboldened to be independent. So for all those reasons, I think during this recess, there are some negotiations going on at the staffer level and maybe by telephone on health care. But it doesn't, but the very, very narrow and elusive path to getting 50 Republican senators plus Mike Pence to vote for a health care bill hasn't been found yet. And then, of course, on the budget, they are way, way behind. Maybe we can talk about this notion of a summertime omnibus. And then on nominations, that's the Democrats. The problem there is that the Democrats are using almost every nomination to take up almost a week's worth of time on the Senate floor to signal their opposition to the people the president is nominating and their opposition to the president generally.
Well, let's get back to health care for just a moment, because the CBO scoring of the House bill came out a week and a half ago or so, and everybody's running around on that one. But there have been some pretty incisive pieces here and there published that pointing to some major flaws in CBO's analysis and assumptions they make and conclusions they come to. And so it's a highly debatable point whether the CBO is even close to right on this. Not taking sides here, but it seems like the Senate Republicans are just unwilling to even take up the battle and assuming the CBO is absolutely right and then proceeding politically from that standpoint.
Well, they don't really sort of by the rules. At least, please tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think they have much. Well, there are two answers to that. One is, the CBO gets to be the scorekeeper, whether they're a flawed scorekeeper or not. That's the rules, that they keep the score. And then the more important answer is what the senators are saying is we don't really need to worry about that because we're going to write our own bill and then it'll get a CBO score and we'll worry about that one. But essentially the senators are saying, what's passed is passed. What the CBO came out with right before Memorial Day was a belated score for the bill that had already passed the House. It's instructive to them to some degree, but that they say we're independent actors, we're going to write a different bill, and then the CBO will look at that, and we will take that one seriously.
And you mentioned, too, the possibility of a summer omnibus. What is that all about?
Well, this is the bold idea of a guy named Tom Graves, who's a relatively junior member of the House Appropriations Committee, who says, look, it's pretty obvious that we are way, way behind in the annual budget process. And so why don't we sort of try a Hail Mary pass on first down or second down rather than wait till the end? His proposal is that all the subcommittees should do their work, draft up bills, and then rather than try and move all 12 different bills through the process, which is the way the budget law says it's supposed to be, cobble them all together into one bill, big take-it-or-leave-it bill, and try and get that passed and sent over to the Senate before the start of the August recess. That would at least give the Senate a month to contemplate a response and would sort of advance the process, I think, in kind of an interestingly bold way, in a different way than usually happens, which is that the House passes half or more than half of its bills. The Senate can't get its act together or can't find 60 votes for any of them. They end up giving up. We go to a CR and then an omnibus late in the year when people are tired and aren't maybe paying as much attention as they should be. So he says, if you do it in the hot sunlight of summer, people will be paying attention and it'll get the attention it deserves.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at Roll Call. Now, this proposal, as you say, comes from a relatively junior member of the House Appropriations Committee. That's something that would even be considered by, say, Senator Mitch McConnell?
I don't know. That's a great question. Mitch McConnell is a former appropriator himself. And I think Mitch McConnell would probably be open to anything that created actual movement of the agenda. I mean, I think he is as frustrated as anybody. To be the Senate Majority Leader is to live a life of frustration, because of course you're constantly being stymied by the minority side. They really have more, at least as much power in the Senate as the majority does. So I'm going to guess that that he would be open to an idea of getting of avoiding another budget crisis in the fall, avoiding all the shutdown, showdown talk, all the countdown clocks on the TV. That makes everybody on Capitol Hill nervous. The Republicans don't want that to happen, so I'm thinking he would be open to it. Of course, the other reason to be open to it is that now we know from the Treasury Department that the absolute deadline for raising the amount of federal borrowing, the so-called debt limit, is now in the summer, not in the fall. So that becomes a complicating or accelerating piece for this piece of the budget crisis wars.
And very quickly, we have this special counsel that's got to get underway at some point. And you've written a column on the history of how special counsels tend to play out for White Houses. What are we expecting to see? When will Mueller get underway, and what might it look like?
Well, he is staffing up now. We know that he's already picked a couple of senior attorneys from the firm, WilmerHale, where he currently works. They signed office space. I mean, it will take a little time to actually hire some people and sort of assign tasks. So I think that will look, and what it will look like is much, much less visible than whatever Congress does. I mean, the whole point of one of the key things about these special counsels is they do get to operate in secret. The only time we in the media should, unless there's leaking, which, of course, I in the media hope there will be some good leaking, but unless there's leaking, the only time we know what the special counsel's up to is when he takes witnesses before a federal grand jury. We're all free to stand outside the doors of the courthouse and watch who goes in and out. That's weeks, if not months away, I would say. So before that happens, there will be some more activity in Congress. We do know that Jim Comey, the former FBI director, has agreed to testify before Senate Intelligence sometime this summer. We don't have a date, but we do know that he has promised them that he will testify in an open hearing.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll have a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.